Welcome to the Life and Leadership Podcast, where we share ideas, real life stories, and inspiration for powerful people to level up. Tegan Travato and Katie Rasool are recovering HR executives and professional life and leadership coaches. In each episode, they'll help you tap into your personal power and take your life and career to the next level. Tegan and Katie are committed to helping others discover their inner mission and rise to their highest potential, and they're working on it every day themselves. Are you ready to transform how you lead and live? This is your community, and these are your hosts, Tegan and Katie.
Hey guys, we're back today to talk to you about reflecting on 2017 and planning for the new year for 2018. So this is literally one of my favorite topics to talk about in the world, as you know, Katie.
I can attest to that.
I know it's annoying, right?
No, I love it.
I could talk about it all year. I just cannot get enough of it. I'm such a junkie for personal evolution and building your inner temple, and might have something to do with why I'm a coach.
You know, it wouldn't have the same ring to it if you were like April planning.
You're right. The
energy around the new year is important. It's a good deal.
I'm not going to lie. It has been my intention for the last like 2 or 3 years to actually do a workshop on this topic. That's how much I love it. So we're another year is passing and I don't have this live yet. Maybe I'll do a free webinar or something. Maybe I'll pull it together. But I'm really excited to talk with you about this today, Katie, and share this with the world. So what we're going to cover today for our listeners is the importance and pleasure of reflecting as you close the year. This isn't for everyone. Some people really hate holiday, hate the new year, really don't dig goal setting or planning. Some people think the R word is a super dirty word and we don't set resolutions. You can call it whatever you want. If this is your jam, we've got some really cool ideas on how to go about planning and goal setting for the upcoming year. We're going to talk about one of my favorite aspects of how to slice through the noise of goal setting by choosing one word or symbol or theme to focus on for the entire year, and how to make those plans so that you remain healthily detached from the outcome and you're not rigid in your mission to achieve all of your goals, because the value is sometimes more in the process of planning. As you told me earlier today, Katie, not to steal your thunder, I just really love that phrase. So 7 years ago, I upgraded my practice and added that word of the year. So we're going to really dig in on that. And Katie and I are actually going to even share our words of focus for 2018.
Yeah. I have not had as many years of word of the year as you. I'm only a couple of years in. But it's been fun to learn from you and to see what some of your process has been that we'll talk about. And just talk through people's, what we see our clients doing, what we have done ourselves that works really well. And hopefully y'all can take away a few nuggets that might really bust open your 2018 and have a totally different flair than what you're used to having. I think there is some energy in the air. You know, January hits, whether you're a resolution person or a planning person or not, something is in the air where you feel some idea of fresh start. And it's sort of, you've been given this new year every year, regardless of whether or not you effed up the last one.
Yeah. May they not stop coming. It's always good to see a new year.
Yeah.
Katie, why do you do reflection and planning every year? What's that do for you?
I love reflection and I love planning. And so I would do that all year long. And I do that all year long, but to do it at the end of the year and beginning, I think the favorite part for me is the reflection piece. The planning comes really easy once that's done. That's sort of the back half. The reflection piece for me is where all of the magic happens. Yeah. Really asking myself some questions about what happened and thinking back to earlier in the year about things that I might have forgotten.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important for me to remember all of the things that happened and that I accomplished. It's the same thing if you're at work and you're writing your end of year review. You know, that's sort of a forced way of doing this that a lot of people experience. And to go back and look at some of those amazing successes that you had and relive them from March that you forgot about for the last 6 months always feels really good.
Yeah.
And I even do try and track those things throughout the year. And I did this when I had performance reviews to write, so that it didn't feel like some long distant memory because I had tracked them in real time throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I really love that reflection period, mostly as a way to feel good about all of the stuff that I accomplish and the big things that happen that
give yourself more credit than
mm-hmm. anything else or thinking about things that I didn't accomplish. So my favorite part.
That's awesome.
So tell me a little bit about, tell us what your practice is. Because I know this is many years in the running, and share what your process is in coming to your reflection and your planning.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I want to say about this is, I've been doing the goal setting, et cetera, for, how many years? Ooh, that math is hurting my feelings right now. Like a long time. So maybe like 15 years I've been doing this. So I've been around for a minute now. It's starting to feel that way. So
Let's back up. 15 years. So what caused you to do it the first time?
Yeah. So this is where I was going. Honestly, the intention of the goal setting has changed over the years a lot. Mm. So as I have evolved internally, the purpose and the feeling behind this has changed. So when it started out, it was because I was a psycho achiever and there were things I wanted to go and get and have and do and feel. Mostly tangible external things in the beginning. And that was how I kind of set my course every year. And it worked. I'm not going to lie. It served me very well because I could stay focused on something, to your point. I had this list I could just go back to mm-hmm. every time. But there were years where that felt really oppressive. And there were years where I didn't hit many of those goals. And the power sometimes is, and what's more telling actually is in what you don't actually accomplish versus what you actually do. And so that's what I mean by evolving. You know, my young 20 something self did not set out and go, this will be interesting to see what I don't do, right?
Right.
It took many years of doing this to kind of see the story. And all of my goals year over year in one document. So I can really watch that evolution of, well, what mattered to me as a 20 something? What's mattering to me now that I'm closing out my 30s? And what's going to matter next year? And really appreciating that it doesn't have to be this rigid thing.
That is a genius time capsule.
It is juicy.
Yeah, to be able to look back at that. Most of us don't even think that far ahead.
Yeah, it is really interesting. So the word of the year thing just popped up about 7 years ago, though. So I added that word of the year, or sometimes it was a symbol, sometimes it was a theme. But I added that to my practice because life happens. And there were some years where the goals that felt important in January by July weren't. Or, there was one year where something really traumatic happened in my life. And let me tell you, I did not give a shit about any of those goals. But having that word or that theme or that symbol lets you slice through the noise and still have this thing that's nurturing you, keeping you centered, serving as a guidepost and letting you still make some changes and grow in a mindful, conscious way. And it's simple.
I love it. Think about how many times that you or people that you know have had goals and you're like, what are your goals? And you're like, here, let me look them up.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I don't actually know them offhand, which means that they're obviously really front of mind and you're working really mm-hmm. diligently on them, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that word or being able to set that simple of an intention for the year
it's really powerful.
Much more powerful because you're putting all of your energy in one direction versus trying to boil the ocean and do a lot of different things, which I think is one of the main pitfalls people mm-hmm. fall into with goal setting is that there are too many things that they're trying to accomplish or just putting their energy in too many places versus being really successful at fewer, greater, bigger things.
Yeah. And I've experimented over the years myself with that goal setting. So I'm a big fan of reflection like you are, Katie. I love being able to just take a look back and give myself a pat on the back, but also to kind of identify things I need to release and not take with me into the new year and forgive, whether it's forgiving others or forgiving myself in some capacity. So that reflection is probably the most personal, meaningful, healing aspect of closing out the year. The goal setting is what I probably experimented with the most. So, I was looking back, like I talked about over those many years of goal setting. And one year I had 23 goals.
What was your batting average that year?
God, I'd have to say if I was lucky, it was like 10%. And then one year I had 10. And one year, last year, I did not set goals intentionally.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
How did it go? Kind of juicy. So I chose my word like I always do. But, you know, some of the deeper work I had to do as an entrepreneur was trusting, doing the right things that I knew were in alignment with what I was supposed to be doing to serve the world and believing it would all work out. And what's interesting is I had my biggest year last year. Financially, biggest year, even compared to being in-house in an organization, like abundance, like I could never have planned. I would have planned too small.
Isn't that interesting? So what is next year? Are you setting goals next year? Or are you following suit with 2017?
Next year is a combo. So next year, for next year, I've already set my goals and I've set this iteration. I'll spend more time with them before the year closes. Yes, of course, as a business owner, I have financial goals. I have milestones I have to hit. I have personal goals and relationship goals. I have health goals. But I'm going to set them up, and there's far fewer of them. There's not 23. There's more like 7. And I'm going to stay less attached to them even than I have in the past. So mixing in the, yes, I set the goal because I love to set goals. I love to have a plan, but also incorporating more of what I've learned this past year about releasing it, setting the intention and just letting the world show up and trusting that if I stay aligned to my purpose and my mission out in the world, that all of it's going to come together just like it did last year.
So something I know about you is that you're extremely committed. So I know that you are the person who, when you set a goal, if you let it go and you didn't do it, it was on purpose, not because you didn't get around to it or because you were lazy. Like, so tell me how, talk to me about releasing those goals and how you've been able to be like, you know what? My goals have changed by June.
Yeah.
And it's okay to change them. How have you worked through that personally?
Yeah. You know, I think we always want our overarching goals that we set at the beginning of the year, but life, like I said, life's going to happen. You know, like I, an example of that is I took on a coaching and consulting engagement last year that had me engaged full time, or this year, that had me engaged full time with an organization that ended up being more like 70 hours a lot of weeks instead of 40. But it was the right thing. I mean, it was aligned to my purpose to be there doing that work. And so as a result, I made a conscious choice that some other things had to go. But it was clear that there was a greater mission, right? That there was a greater cause, that there was something more important that aligned to the same values with which I built those goals.
Sure.
So it was easy to interchange them, interchange them rather. So, and there, you know, I love, thanks for that credit that I'm so intentional and that I always try to release things intentionally. But there are years where I just don't get around to stuff. And that's usually a result of overplanning, like I said, with some of those previous years where I just set way too many goals. Or, you know, looking back at my 20s, a lot of the goals, as I said, were external. They weren't attached to the feeling I wanted to have or the purpose or the value. And those goals fall away because they're not that meaningful. Mm-hmm. They were right for that time in my life, but that's certainly not how I would stay attached to something now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and that's, I mean, we all do goal setting probably long before the reflecting because we're trying to accomplish something or our boss told us we should. There's definitely, you know, goal setting is sort of the more obvious part of the equation coming into the new year, where the reflecting piece or considering the word or certainly what do I give up or stop doing. It's like a whole door number three that a lot of us forget to even consider as we're reflecting and planning. But I can think of how many times as I was younger that just set goals, whether or not they were the right goals. And then because being really committed and being an achiever, driving towards those goals come hell or high water, even though it was a total shit goal, didn't make any sense.
Right.
And probably didn't feel that great doing it, but I was going to do it no matter what. I nailed it.
Yep. Doing the thing, making sure you do the thing. Yeah, I looked back through one of the records of like 6 years running. I'm not kidding you, Katie. I had the goal lose 15 pounds. What I can't tell you is if I actually kept weighing more and still just wanted to lose 15 or if it was the same 15. I'm not really sure. But I had a good chuckle at that. And I remember in my reflection that last of those 6 years, looking at that and going and knowing that this is the 6th year I didn't do it and really asking myself, why? Why? Why am I holding on to those? And am I just going to be with them? Are they just going to be a part of me? Like, what's the, why am I not engaged in that? Why is that not interesting to me? Why am I not driven there? And so that's kind of to the point of what really counts and matters to you will show itself over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll learn to make peace with the things that are clearly not as important as they are, even though they kept landing on your list for 6 years straight. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Just thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, the gift of planning over time and keeping the records yeah. to look back to. That's impressive.
Yeah. So what's your format for a goal setting, Katie, for yourself?
I really like you said, focusing on reflection first. Mm-hmm. And so that's really thinking about types of questions like, what did I accomplish? What did I feel really good about? What did I learn about myself? Mm. What did I learn about, you know, my business? Some of the experiences that I had, certainly thinking about relationships with people, making sure that that's all balanced and reflecting and planning. And I love thought-provoking questions that are kind of even outside of those obvious categories.
What are some that you've asked yourself this year?
You saw this somewhere else, so I can't take credit for coming up with it, but it was... One question was, if your life was a movie or the year was a movie, you know, like what kind of movie would it be? Or I love movies and quotes. And so I kind of think back to what movie was it like, not just even the genre that it was. And, you know, is it a horror film? I hope not. Right. Or is it a rom-com? Who knows? The other thing that I saw as an example, and I'll give this credit to Rich Litvin, who is another coach of high-performing coach, one of the questions that I've seen in some of his planning that I really paused at and I wasn't even able to answer for myself was, what were the risky, generous acts I accomplished that worked? So risky,
juicy,
generous, and that worked. I was like, I'm just going to need a minute to see what siphons out for that one.
That's amazing.
So I just love questions like that go beyond like what were your wins, were your opportunities to improve,
because much more
it
thoughtful.
Really pulls some creative thought process in and helps you think differently than maybe you've done in the past.
I love that is amazing. My goal setting and my reflection has been somewhat generic until the last couple of years, but as you know, that process has served me for quite a long time now. There were always three areas where I would do some reflection. So generic bucket number one was personal. So I put a whole bunch of stuff in the personal basket. The second one was work, and the third was health. So if we think about it, everyone might dissect this differently. Emotional health could go in the health category, physical health, spiritual health. The work category is just brimming over all the time for me. And then the personal side can be anything around, I mean, you may have some crossover. Maybe that's where you put spirituality, or maybe it's a personal development goal that you want to have or a thing you want to feel or do. So I've always kept them really generic like that, because it allows just the information to flow out, if that makes sense.
As you've selected those three buckets, have you found a theme of one of them being more challenging than the others?
Oh, that's such a good question. No, it's really inconsistent. I usually am like the queen of consistency. That is really inconsistent, though. Like, I do remember looking back at these and seeing that, you know, some year the financial goals just were not getting hit. And some years the career goals would be really lofty, but there were things out of my control, right? So I didn't always hit those. And then some years the personal side, like those are the things we end up scrapping first a lot of times, right? So it just kind of depended on the circumstances, which is why I will reiterate, people need to be somewhat detached from these goals, right? Because life's going to happen. But it is, I can't say I've served myself in one area consistently over another.
So to that point of being detached from the outcomes, so setting goals, but then being okay with potentially not hitting them or changing path, what do you recommend as some ways to detach yourself for the outcome for people who are not coaches like you and I who spend a lot of time in that space?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of self-love that has to go into that, so... And forgiveness, right? And just respecting that circumstances are going to change. But I think the way to shift our perspective on that is simply realizing that when we laser in on a specific thing, we'll have that thing. I mean, science shows us that what we focus on grows. We put our energy and time and resources into something, we'll have it. That's thankfully in America, most of the time how it works for us. However, what happens with that laser focus is you have blinders on your peripheral. So you can't actually see the other things that are showing themselves to you. So if we're only looking for one thing, all the other opportunities that might pop up around us, we can't see. So if we go into the year just being psychotically honed in on a few things, then who knows what the year could have looked like, right? Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, have focus and always pop your head up out of the sand and look around all year around what else is showing up for me around this. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I think I spent probably way too many years of my life being laser focused.
We're taught to be.
On the goal, right?
Yeah, and it's our like, thing.
High achievers, I'm talking to you out there.
Exactly.
This is the goal. I've wanted to do this since I was this young or whatever that is, mm-hmm. which is glorious. And that's how we got
where we are.
Where we are. Yeah. When why we're so successful in a lot of ways. And yeah, I've learned in my older, wiser years that I have missed the signs and I have missed the opportunities around me that maybe would have changed the course, better or worse. I don't know. No judgment on that.
Yeah.
But in looking back, I can see how my laser focus and need to achieve and have success in that one area or goal that I set really prevented me from seeing some of the other options.
Yeah. So I always think of that as creating false prisons for ourselves, right? I'm going to lock myself in this jail, and this is the only things I'm allowing myself this year. And it's all made up. Like, it just doesn't even have to be that way. The world can be so much bigger.
Yeah. All of a sudden, that's why it gets unfun.
Yes. Right?
And then it starts to feel.
We know a little something about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it starts to feel like you're trapped. Mm-hmm. I have to do this instead of I choose to do this.
Yeah.
And it becomes very different.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I also love about the New Year's ritual. So it's really personal for me. I've been a part of rituals with other folks where we've done some things together to release, you know, whatever we don't want to bring into the new year. Like one time I had a girlfriend that had a party. It was a bunch of women and we all had to write down the thing we wanted to release on a piece of paper that when you flick it, it fires up and it just disintegrates. It's like magic paper. You know what I mean? You can buy it at a magic shop. But the symbolism and the ritual of doing that is really cool. But that's always discovered in the reflection.
Yes.
Right? And then really sitting and thinking about what do I not want to take with me? You know, or what false prison have I created for myself, goal or other, that I want out of? And sometimes there's more than one piece of paper getting lit up. But I really love that about the new year. And
I was going to say, is there a 5-subject notebook of said paper?
Yes. It's a pile of paper right in the center. Boom, going up. I love that. No, it's never been that. Thank God it's never been that bad. No, but it is. And, you know, it's a muscle that you develop, though, in your ability to release things. Like I know that I spent years telling myself I was releasing something and not actually releasing it.
Mm.
It's taken time to learn how to literally let it go by, to get rid of it and put it away. And when it shows back up, to acknowledge it, like, oh, you're back. I see you. You can go back to your room now.
Yes.
We're not going to play, you know? So I just really love the idea of create the ritual to release it. And then, you know, be conscious of how the thing you wanted to get rid of keeps showing back in your life and ask yourself what that means. Why is it still here? Why is it showing? And when I say it, guys, gosh, I'm speaking in a very lofty way about this, but it could be a feeling you don't want to have anymore. It could be a relationship you needed to get rid of. It could be work you shouldn't be doing at this point in your career anymore that you keep finding yourself attracted to. So the sky's the limit on it. It could be a million things. But once you identify it and try to release it, it isn't always done in the ritual. You know, sometimes there is a muscle we have to build or a replacement that needs to be made to fill a gap that we created by releasing the thing. So,
yeah. And to that point, I think I firmly believe that, or at least for me, that the value is in the process of planning more so than even just the plan. Mm-hmm. So you have to get to the plan and the goals and have done the reflection to have gone through the journey and really looking at all of those things. And that is why we do it. That is the value of it. the plan and not being attached to the outcome, the plan doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you did it and reflected and had the time that
that's powerful, Katie.
Makes the difference for you. Doing the training, it's not that you're running the marathon is cool, but training for the marathon is like the actual piece of it.
What a
right?
good parallel. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Genius. I remember feeling that way when I ran my first half marathon. I thought I would feel really jazzed at the end of the half marathon, and I felt more emotion on the last training run than I did at the actual race, because it was this moment of like, I did all the work and the rest is just fun and enjoying.
I'm going to cling to that example. That is just a great way to demonstrate the planning, the beauty of the planning, the process of it.
The journey, not the outcome.
How much time or what continuum of time do you spend typically at the end of the year doing reflection and planning for the next year?
Ooh, I would say most of December I spend, because it's bits and pieces and I have new realizations that pop up. You know, I go back and back and back and look at other people's planning documents or questions other people are asking themselves. So I spend time all through December, and really by the end of December, I'm pretty clear on this is where I'm going and a lot of the specifics behind that. Like, I already know at this point in December what my word of the year is for 2018. Some of the key pieces that I'm going to focus, like the big audacious goals that I'm working on for next year. And then some of the more tactical pieces or the other things that fall in, I'll have that nailed down by January.
Yeah.
How about you?
The last few years, my word of the year has been showing up well before I do formal reflection and planning. And I receive that. I'm totally open to that. It has been really interesting. My word for 2018 showed up in October.
What is it?
And I wasn't done with this year's word. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, hi, I'm waiting. It's in queue. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to focus on. So my word for next year's service.
Nice. Yeah. Tell us a little more about that.
So, you know, like you, I spent many years doing, especially in the work vein, right? Like goal achievement, very linear kind of focus. If you do X, then Y comes next. Spending many years in sort of a consultant capacity, even if in-house, inside of an organization, the consulting mindset is, I'm an expert. Let me bring you the answers. You can choose to adopt them or not. And I may look at you sideways if you don't, because I know what's right, right? Like that is, and so that's a form of service. Like, I'm being a little snarky about the last comment, but like, as a consultant, it's your job to have the answers and to know what people need to do. And coaching's not that, you know? So the other side of my business, and I've been doing this for several years, is spending time with people in service and really just being with them in whatever it is they need, whether it's an entire executive team that needs some white space to work through tough stuff together, or it's the individual that's left their marriage and doesn't know who the hell they're going to be next. It is an act of service. And, you know, my business has shifted so that I'm 70% coaching, 30% consulting. And I want my energy to be always in line with that. Not only that, but, you know, with such an abundant couple of years, I really want to give back in a different way and in a bigger way to people who are interested in it, meaning I want to do some free webinars. I want to do some free talks with organizations who are aligned to my personal mission and to my business's mission. And so all of that is about service. And service to myself, service to my marriage, right? Like, so the forethought is very much what I spent all of that time on. Where I am focused now as we close the year is, what does service mean for my marriage? What does service mean? What does it mean to be of service to myself? And really pull it all the way through, right? And really kind of live the full experience of being of service.
Yeah, because the potential obvious pitfall is service meaning, you know, considering it being giving, and not being of service to yourself. So I love that you're incorporating that and thinking about your relationships and other places where you get energy are as critical in that definition of service.
Yeah.
Love that.
Thanks. How about you? Have you chosen your word?
I have.
Tell
us. My word for next year, again, came loud and clear well before the end of the year, is gratitude. So that's something I'm focusing on for 2018. And I've dabbled in some gratitude practices over the course of time, but this is very clearly a different place that I'm in now. And so some of the things that I'm already doing is really some very intentional gratitude practices every day where I'm just tracking what I'm grateful for, specifically around a couple of key topics. So yeah. Not just general three things before I go to bed, which I'm doing some of that as well. But one of the things that I'm doing around gratitude is specifically around finances. Mm-hmm. And I have a gratitude tracker where every day it's as specific as writing a specific dollar amount, where it came from or where it's going, and why I'm grateful for it. And so being
Let me pause you. Where it came from or where it's going.
Yes.
What a powerful.
Can we just talk about this? Because this has been an adjustment since I started.
That's juicy.
So when I wrote it and wherever I got the idea from, I started with the mindset of where it's coming from. Like mm-hmm. where it's from is actually the title on the column. And I'll be honest, if those of you guys who listened to our last podcast, we talked about December being a quiet time for incoming business as mm-hmm. a consultant, as a coach, because it's the holidays and a lot of companies are pretty busy finishing out year end. And so the coming in income piece in December is not always as consistent as the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We know this. And so I start my gratitude practice. And then I started to find that there's some days where I was like, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't have a dollar amount to write down or a location where it's coming from. And that made this really interesting shift because there's been a lot of days where I have tracked gratitude in a very specific dollar amount that was outgoing.
Yeah.
And where it went to and why I am grateful for that. And that's been this really interesting mindset shift as part of that. And I'm interested to see what happens in the universe as a result of that, because it's really this idea of giving and receiving and being grateful for both directions of it.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the ability to be able to give that funding out or be able to invest in different areas of my business by making those payments. So that's been an interesting shift for me. And it's, you know, December, not even 2018 yet. So this is going to really blow the door off on 2018.
I'm pretty lit up about this whole exercise. For the listeners, could you just give them the breakdown of this is what you do? This is one piece of paper, two columns, once a day. Like, could you just give them that recap?
One piece of paper, Excel spreadsheet for those of us who like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Get your nerd on. Of course, mine's like nice font and it's color coded.
Yes.
But it is, the first column was just dollar amount. Mm-hmm. So being very specific. So it forces you to really search for something very tangible and specific. Yeah. Pushing in, this is for me around the finances. Where it's coming or going, had to edit the top column. So it wasn't just where it's coming from and coming into me, but where it's going. And the third column is why you're grateful for that.
Mm.
And that's it. And to do it every day, you're like, okay, I got this for 3 days. And then the fourth day, you're like,
it gets
running
out
of things. So if you've ever done any gratitude practice, it's easy where you just start to be like, I'm grateful for my family,
my cat,
and my cat, and my health. And then once you start doing it for a few days, you realize that you can't just write the same three tired things, and you have to start getting really specific.
Yeah.
So instead of saying my family, you start to write, I'm grateful that my son learned this today. Or I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to go to the gym. You start to really get much more granular on what you're looking at because you feel like you have to when you're doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that's been the value of the practice of gratitude, focusing back on that word of the year. And it is inevitably going to bring more of that into my life, because having that much focus and attention on one thing will inevitably help it grow.
Yeah. Have you read the book, You Are a Badass with Money?
I haven't yet. It's on my 2018.
I haven't, admittedly. I haven't read it yet either, but I'm feeling like that's a nice accompaniment text to the practice of owning your money situation, whether it's coming in or going out. I don't know. That just came to mind. I thought I'd share that with the readers. It's supposed to be a great book.
Yeah, I've heard great things. And Jen Sincero is a genius. Mm-hmm. If you haven't read You Are a Badass, which is the original gangster of those mm-hmm. titles that she's written. Book. But that is early 2018. I instinctively know that that book is going to be critical in mm-hmm. this process, even though I haven't read it yet, but I just
love it.
It will happen shortly. I know it'll be important.
You know, people really, if you're not aware of this, listeners, almost everyone has an emotional attachment to money. So to practice gratitude around it is just, I mean, that's powerful, really powerful. I mean, whether we have great emotional feelings about money or sometimes not great, like there is something very real about that. I can tell you from all the clients I've worked with, my own personal journey, we have feelings about money. So for you to spend a year loving on it, loving that money, whether it's coming in or going out, is just, it's a practice in abundance, really. It's pretty remarkable.
It is. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And everyone has their own feelings mm-hmm. about money. I've been very fortunate in my life. And so my first gut reaction is, oh, I don't have any issues there, right? But they're there.
I love how that is sometimes the first gut
right?
reaction.
Yeah. And so it's just really kind of understanding that and to really, it's partially about finances and partially just around gratitude and kind of similar to your idea of service.
Yeah.
It's what can I just put out into mm-hmm. the universe that is positive energy? And mm-hmm. the other piece of that, or especially around finances, is trust and just trusting that it's being handled.
Right.
It is being handled by the universe and having that faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, you know, you asked me to bring a couple of my stories around words of the year from the past. I thought I'd share a couple of those. And then we'll move into a short exercise that can help our listeners hone in on their powerful word of the year.
So tell us about your miracle stories of these words of the year. What are a couple good ones?
Yeah, you know, my 2012 was a pretty juicy one. So that wasn't a word; it was a symbol, and the symbol was a peacock. And I had a tremendously big career year that year. So, I mean, of course, being an achiever, being thoughtful, I had aligned myself to some of these opportunities, but nothing's guaranteed. And you know, as I remember setting my intention that year, that I had come into this different level of confidence about what it was I had to offer, and sort of in a respectful way, but a very real way, started to own that. You know, with the companies I worked for, with the people I interacted with. And I think a lot of people can relate to, you hit this eventual milestone where you're like, okay, I'm an expert in this. This is mine. Like, I own this. I claim this. And I think that was that year for me.
How did you arrive at the peacock specifically?
I just remember, you know, I was actually at a retreat where I did we built a mala. So if anyone's into meditation, it's 21 beads that you string together and you use them for meditation. So it sort of helps you stay centered and focused on how many times you've gone through a mantra or a chant, and you count the beads in your mala. And so I was in the middle of making that, and I remember having this bead that was like peacock colored, like had just colors that reminded me of that. And I was in the zone at the time of like, okay, what is my word for next year, my symbol? And so it popped into my head, because I start questioning, well, what's a peacock mean? What does that mean symbolically? And for me, I remember so clearly having this inner dialogue with myself, like a peacock knows it's beautiful. It uses its colors to attract its mate and whatever, right? And just to attract strangers of different species who are like, wow, you're really beautiful. I want to look at you. And so that's a really external view of the peacock. The peacock life I was living was an internal view of the peacock, right? Of like, that sounded wrong, but you know, like I am living my gifts. I am bringing them to the table. I am not shy to speak up or ask for the promotion or the money or the whatever. And I got everything I wanted that year. So it was, nice. Yeah, but it all started with one reflection on, what does it mean for me? What does the peacock symbol mean for me? It was very much a career-focused thing.
Did you start to see them, like, everywhere, the synchronicity, you set this intention.
No, but animal. I bought a bunch of really weird peacock printed stuff all year. Like, I remember I had peacock coasters. I had a peacock pin I would wear on my coat lapel. Like, I mean, I kept it visual for
letterhead.
Myself. Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't go that far. You would though. I know you would.
I totally would. I totally would.
No, but you know, I intentionally keep my symbol or word in front of me all year. So it's not always as fancy as buying product from Pier One, but sometimes and usually in full transparency, it is as simple as I will write the word or the theme on a post-it note, well, several of them, and keep them all over the place. So I'll put a small one on my laptop for the entire year that I can see. One goes on my bathroom mirror. One may go in my closet. So when I'm getting ready, I see it. And I mean, it's a form of meditation to keep it in front of your brain and kind of start and end your day with a reminder of the symbol, the word, the theme.
I love to write. I have a pack of window markers. I love to write on the mirror. Ooh, in the bathroom.
You're so fancy, Katie. Mm-hmm.
It allows me to not ignore it. Yeah. Sometimes I get used to the post-it notes.
Yeah.
And so if I write it differently,
yes, in that's the mirror, a good point.
That's helpful.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that can happen. It just becomes part of your decor, post-it notes. Yes. I'm sure my husband loves that about our house. So that was one pretty major year. You know, but that was that's a really intentional example. Another example I want to share that's super personal too is the year that I chose the word balance. And, you know, I chose the word probably in November to use in the following year. And then that December, my mom died unexpectedly on my wedding day. So we went into 2015 with the word being balance. Now, I was pretty detached from everything by then because it was such a trauma. But what I love about the word is that it gave me something to look back on and to stay centered to. And it was interesting because of my circumstances, the meaning has changed over that year.
Yeah.
So I may have started out with a focus on balance because I wanted to have better work-life balance. I mean, I remember that being the main thing, and I just changed jobs and moved across the country, and I had it all planned out how I was going to safeguard my personal life this time and do it right and have balance. And then shit hits the fan. Life happened in a really big and ugly way. So I started out 2016 with the word balance, and I was just drowning in sorrow and mourning, and who gave a shit about balance? But as I kind of came out of some of that, what manifested over the year by keeping that front of mind is what balance really meant now. What balance really meant after going through a life experience like that, how short life was, how precious it is, how mindful we can be about how we live it and enjoy it. And so the word balance proved to be the right word that year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were months where I was like, I wasn't attached to anything, right? I was just a mess. But, it really ended up, it was the year that I left corporate America and started my own business.
Wow.
Because it became clear to me that balance was so important to me that I wasn't willing to spend one more year at anyone else's mercy.
What do you think that year would have looked like without having the word?
I think I still wouldn't have learned that lesson. You know, I think I would have still made some of the same decisions, but not with the clarity. And not with the purpose that I'd made these decisions in that year.
Because certainly, I mean, you're intuitive enough to make, I mean, you kind of can easily stumble into a lot of the right thing, end games anyways, just because you kind of know in your gut where to go. Mm-hmm. But you're right, and that level of clarity and understanding and the why behind it can be very different.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't have been as intentional. It made it a lot easier to make the decision. Because it had clear purpose and meaning, and I knew exactly what I wanted out of balance, you know, out of getting balance in my life, to be clear. So that was a really juicy year. And that's a good example of how, you know, you choose a word with a certain level of experience in your life, but then life keeps moving on. And while you're attached to this word, it changes meaning and you grow with it. And so I feel like every word I've chosen over the last 7 years is part of my DNA now because of that.
Sure.
Because I've had this experience with that word, symbol, or theme every day for 365 days. Mm-hmm. That's pretty deep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think I like that idea of the clarity and how much true clarity you get when you set that intention and you are that clear for the, you know, as far as where you're headed,
yeah,
it does provide this whole different level of getting really clear on yeah. what's important to you. Are you on the right track?
Mm-hmm.
It is magical in that way that it yeah. provides some rail to yeah. stay on for that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And like the year, to leave it on a happy note with a really happy word, love. That yes. was a word 1 year. And that year I chose love because I was having a really difficult time with an employer, like with a leader that I was working with. And I just remember feeling so at a loss that I finally said, the only way I can deal with this, like mentally come to work every day, is to just send this person love. Like in my mind, instead of being baited or reacting to the shit sandwich they were serving me for breakfast every morning, I would just go, okay, sure. Because whatever was going on with that person was theirs and they needed love. Like they needed someone to hold them and tell them it was okay. Like you could just see that they were struggling, but I was suffering as a result. And that was not a relationship where I could address that as directly as I like to, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to learn to send that love. But as a result, by the end of the year, I ended up engaged to my now husband. So love just grew, right? The meaning of it, the intention of it. And I think there's some level of attracting that more of that to yourself too, as you focus on it, right?
Yeah. Oh man, you put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out.
Get ready.
Get yes. ready.
You do it with intention. That is going to show up. All of it's going to show up.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the process. I know that you go through some questions
yeah.
to ask yourself on how to really arrive at the word yeah. of the year.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So like you, Katie, I do a deep, like a pretty extensive list of questions and journaling and reflecting. And that's where it always starts for me. It's grown, like the depth of the reflection has grown because I've learned there are more questions, there are better questions that help me keep peeling back the layers to get down to the real center of what it is I need or want or how I want to feel. So I can't give you all of that. I can't give everyone on the podcast listeners all of that because that would take forever. But what I did was I honed in on 5 questions that can help anybody get clear. And really dig in. So the first question is, what's your biggest piece of unfinished business in 2017?
Mm.
So what did you not put to bed yet? What's going to track itself right into the new year? What else do you need to do or say to be complete with 2017? So what do you need to do to put some things to bed and really put a milestone marker on it so that you don't carry everything with you into the new year? Third question, what advice would you like to give yourself in 2018? Fourth question, what brings you the most joy and how are you going to do or have more of that in 2018? And lastly, ask yourself the big question, what is one word, phrase, or symbol that you would like to have as your theme in 2018?
Nice.
But you got to go through the process because if you can write, and I don't want you to just think about this, listeners. I want you to write it down. I want you to, pen to paper is always great because there is scientific proof that we connect differently with our thoughts when they're coming out of a pen versus going into a computer. So totally. You might experiment with that. Yeah, you know that to be true.
Oh, absolutely.
So I would recommend doing that. These questions handwritten. I noticed, Katie, you did your reflection planning handwritten too.
Yeah, and that's I always cool. use green pens.
Why green?
It's like a
color of
visual.
Growth?
Yeah, color of growth, but a visual edit
yeah
to the paper
yeah
versus black just as kind of white noise.
Love.
Yeah, I only write in green pens.
I love it. So maybe you break out your green pen or whatever color resonates for you listeners, but do give this exercise a try. It's not uncommon that you have 5 words or 10 words and then you need to sit with your word list or themes or symbol, whatever you like to focus on, and really drill into it, because the longer you look at that list, the more you're going to get clear on, yeah, that doesn't really matter. Like 2 weeks will pass and you'll go, those 3 words are not it. It just gets clear pretty quickly. So don't feel stressed if you go into the new year and don't have your word, guys. This is all about happiness, growth, fun. So don't make this a job. You have one of those already. So just have a good time with it.
And it does take time. So you and I start this October, November, December mm-hmm. and really sit with it for a while and to each their own. But I do think that you got to write it down.
Yeah.
Look at it a couple of days later.
Yeah.
And it does take a minute. You can't expect to have it all answered. I'm going to plan for an hour today and be done with it.
Yeah.
It's not quite how it works, at least in my experience and what I've seen with my clients being successful, for sure.
And guys, we'd love to hear what words or symbol you choose or your theme. So at the end of the podcast, we'll be sure to give you our email addresses, but it's very easy to find all of us on, find us on all the social channels as well. If you look at our website, so tweet us, LinkedIn message us, Facebook message us. What else?
Yeah, we want to
email us.
Not just the word.
Whatever avenue works.
A little, maybe a couple sentences behind it.
Yeah, we'd really love that. Gosh, that would be so, so fun to hear. So thank you for that. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about goal planning a little bit more and give our listeners some direction on how to set some goals. So I talked about just some really generic buckets. So again, you guys, if you want to just keep it super simple, you can just look at three different slices. So personal, work, health. But maybe you have a different three. But just keep it really, whatever is generic enough to let the thoughts flow out, that's one way to do it. Everybody knows about SMART goals. So you could set SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable. What is it? R-T.
Time bound.
What is the R? I always
realistic.
Forget the R. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I do always forget that
we
one.
We just spelled smatter instead of smart, but you get the idea.
Yeah, thanks. I skipped the R on purpose because I'm like, I always forget the R. Maybe that is telling about me, isn't it? Realistic.
Right. I could spend a whole podcast on unrealistic expectations for ourselves.
Yes, we could. And maybe we should.
But we digress. Yes. Right, we should. We will.
We'll put that on the list. But, you know, that's one of many ways to do it. I personally set goals this year that were more about feelings and less about measurable, time-bound, snoozerific sort of goal setting, which is how it feels for me now. It served me very well for a long time, but now I have much more broad, generally stated goals about how I want to feel and what I might do to feel that way. And then I'm going to leave it really open to how that shows up, like what I have to do to get there, what it ends up looking like at the end of the year, how much of it I have, air quotes, when I end the year. So anything you'd add to the goal setting piece?
Yeah, I think especially for those of us who spend time in corporate America, your SMART goals, that's how we did it. We set some goals for the year, and that becomes how we do it. And I appreciate that approach and think that was a really critical experience to have. And I make sure that all of my goals are all of those things, being realistic and time bound. So that is kind of a no-brainer. But I also think about goals and thinking big enough picture, but also how do I break them down into doable pieces so that I actually start to take action on it. I think one of the pitfalls that I have done in the past is making goals that felt kind of safe, like big, but totally doable and safe and not scary enough.
Interesting.
And I think this is going to be everybody's place to figure out where they tend to trip up in their goal setting and why that is.
Yeah. You know,
some people set them too big. Some people set them too small.
Right. Too many.
I think that's a big one that I see a lot of people struggle with in goal setting, is just too many goals. I think the one word is a big part of that in cutting through the bullshit, honestly.
Yeah.
But certainly not more than three when it really comes down to the big things that you're working on, because then it starts to feel like you aren't hitting milestones, or just starts to feel like work instead of a dream.
Yeah.
You know, and I've spent plenty of time looking back at those goals, even quarterly or every 6 months, and going like, ugh, I haven't started this and I don't really feel like it. And then wondering, well, why is that? Because I sucked all the fun out of it long, long ago.
Fun sucker.
One of the things that we focus on, particularly with coaching clients, and you know, you and I both have a lot of clients that are high achievers and very leadership focused, is focusing on 8 leadership development focus areas. So some of those areas would be having healthy workplace relationships, effective communication, health and wellness. That might mean a lot of different things to people, however you view your health and wellness. Time management and balance, emotional intelligence, having productivity, problem solving, leading and inspiring others. And when I say, you know, leadership development, I'm using that in a broad term, doesn't mean that you have to be a leader in a company with direct reports. Mm-hmm. Leadership is a way of being and a way of approaching, preach. Right? Yep. And so you can lead yourself. I think self-management is an abnormally large part of leadership development. And so a lot of those different eight focus areas that I just named come back to you and what is within your control and less about other people in a lot of cases. So sometimes I think we write goals or make external goals around other people,
yes,
instead of what do I need to do for myself in first order to enable the rest of that.
Yes.
And so here's kind of another pitfall I see a lot of is we just write goals to do stuff.
It's busy.
Get stuff done.
Yeah.
And it leaves us at the end feeling really unfulfilled, or mm-hmm. that we didn't serve some sort of higher purpose, or that our work wasn't very meaningful because we didn't build it that way.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, I love those. And I love those eight. I love the eight areas for us to just reflect a little bit as leaders and think about our own professional development in that vein. Thank you for sharing those.
What other roadblocks or mistakes that do you see people make when they're doing goal setting or things that trip people up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be redundant, but I really do think, in bringing this up, I really do think people set goals from their brain, you know, and not fully as their aligned self. They also forget to look at other areas of their lives. So what I mean by that is a lot of goal setting I see is focused on achievement areas that are pretty attractive here in the US, right? So it's all about money or weight loss or, you know, running a marathon or doing something else really kind of extreme, rather even more extreme than that as a goal, because it's cool and it's noticeable and it's interesting. And I think we miss the mark on not really kind of setting goals that are more personal and internal and would actually help us achieve all of those external things that I just talked about a little more easily. So we start from the outside and move in instead of starting from the inside and moving out. That's probably a better way to say it.
Good way to say that.
So I do see that a lot. And I also see a lot of my clients, I sometimes have to pause and say, where'd that goal come from? Because that one looks really different from all your other ones. And the answer is usually, well, my husband wanted me to work on that, or my wife wants me to be home more often, or my, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, okay, let's turn that into a goal that's you focused, not
which one of these is not like the other.
Yeah. So I say, look at the outliers. Like, why does this look different? And you know, what's interesting, sometimes the outlier is actually how the rest of your goals should look. So look at it from both sides.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Sometimes the outlier is the one goal you set from the inside, and all the rest don't look that way.
That one that snuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so that's probably my closing bit there on that.
I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but just not being attached to the outcome and not being held hostage to the plan is something that we all can fall victim to. But how do you go back, allow yourself the permission to reflect on it? Is this still the right thing? Mm-hmm. Is it still the right thing, like love, even though maybe it was for a different reason than when you started it, and being able to ask yourself those questions and be okay with the outcome or the plan changing. Yeah. Like I talked about earlier, it means the process of planning and going through that experience. The plan itself is, you know, helpful in keeping you on track, but less valuable than the actual journey of planning. Yeah.
So don't be a fun sucker. Have a good time while you're planning. Is that a good way to say it?
No fun murdering, please.
Yeah. Good. Well, Katie, as we close out, we always give our listeners a couple of powerful questions. So what's one that you brought to the table today for our listeners?
You know, one thing as you're thinking of your goals and you're reflecting on last year that I want to ask is, if nothing has changed in your life 1 year from now, how would that feel? Just going to leave that there.
Yeah, we'll just leave that laying there and let people pick that one up. That is a big one.
How about you? What is your powerful question?
My powerful question for today is to ask, what is one thing you've been denying yourself that you want to give yourself in 2018?
I love that.
A little gift giving to ourselves. So
Love that. Well, thanks for that. This was a good discussion.
Yeah, could go on and on, I think.
I'm so jazzed. I know that this is one of your favorite topics and activities to do. And if you, those of you who are listening, want to go deeper, we have some tools that we use with our clients. Feel free to reach out to us. You can reach us at Tegan@BrightArrowCoaching.com and Katie@TeamAwesomeCoaching.com. And when we post the show notes, you know, we'll just write down those 8 areas of focus for leadership that we talked about and the 5 questions that Tegan had shared with you to discover your word or symbol or theme of 2018. So if you want to start doing some of that own planning for yourself, we'll leave some of those resources for you right in the show notes. And we're happy to take suggestions or questions. We really want to know what you want to hear about on the podcast as we're launching into 2018. If there's questions we can answer, if there's suggestions, burning topics that we can discuss here, we want to know what they are. So please let us know and drop us a line in email or on social media, on our websites. There's a lot of ways to get a hold of us. We're pretty easy to find. So we appreciate you guys listening in. And good luck with your planning as you get started.
Yeah, we wish you a happy new year, and we wish for you everything you want to feel and be in 2018. Look forward to hearing from you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, please go to iTunes and subscribe, like, and give 5 stars to the podcast. Discover more opportunities for growth by visiting BrightArrowCoaching.com and TeamAwesomeCoaching.com. We hope you gained some new awareness today, and we can't wait to feel the change you make in the world. Join us next time on the Life and Leadership Podcast.